When the COVID pandemic began, the need to minimize face-to-face contact drove many of the world's judicial systems online. Now, in the name of cost, speed, and greater efficiency, some of them want to stay there. But critics say that holding trials in cyberspace can deny defendants the right to a fair hearing and remove safeguards against abuse. So who's right? We asked reporter Sarah Spiller to investigate.
The physical confines of a courtroom, a place of solemnity, decorum, and authority. But as the COVID pandemic sent the globe into lockdown, courts closed their doors. States and authorities around the world turned to new ways to keep legal wheels spinning. They went online.
The principal argument is going to be that it saves time and it saves money.
Norman Reimer is the chief executive of the NGO Fair Trials International.
At some point, you have to be willing to say that justice is more important than expediency. The greatest power government can wield short of warfare is the power to prosecute, to imprison, in some places to put to death. The function of a criminal defense lawyer is to stand between the individual and that awesome use of power. And in order to do that effectively, you have to be in personal contact with your client.
Olá, você está recebendo uma notificação.
Despite this note of caution, across the globe, judiciaries were quick to see the potential.
I'm the judge.
And so were the software companies.
Digital justice with virtual court hearings from Microsoft can help governments deliver justice at scale.
Inevitably, this new virtual world was not without its challenges.
Settings. I think this is a setting on your iPad, so your iPad is probably set to stay in portrait mode.
Let me go into my settings. Is that what I need to do?
So Judge Dean is modeling it for you, if you can see him.
Oh, come on, Kathy, come on, you can do this.
Hey, it's okay. We're all new to this.
And occasionally, when the wrong button was pressed, real judicial hearings descended into outright farce.
Mr. Ponton, I believe you have a filter turned on in the video setting.
It is, and I don't know how to remove it. I've got my assistant here. She's trying to, but I'm prepared to go forward with it. I'm here live. I'm not a cat.
But apart from technical hiccups, this brave new virtual world also poses serious legal questions.
Can you hear me, Judge?
I can hear you.
This official court video has an important notice in the corner, but that didn't stop it being shown around the world.
The problem with the remote viewing of a trial is that people tend to just see snippets, or what somebody else decides is worth seeing. There is no alternative, if you want true justice, from being there from start to finish.
The right and duty of the public to see justice being done is considered a fundamental principle of most jurisdictions. But critics say that becomes hugely problematic when the process is remote and virtual.
Representation of an individual to a sentencing authority has to be a human engagement. If that person is at a remote location in the custody and control of a jailer or a police officer, you're not going to see, you're not going to hear, you're not going to learn the real facts. That's where the concerns about torture come into play. And there's no substitute for having a person physically present.
Our inquiries took us across the globe to examine claims that state abuse, state torture, has been going unseen when hearings went online. And that these failures in remote justice have been happening in some countries where police brutality is endemic and where the judiciary is the last shield against human rights abuses. The city of São Paulo in Brazil. In this huge nation, beset by criminality, drug-related violence, and with vast disparities of wealth, one in five people in custody have reported police brutality after being arrested. But until 2015, those people were held in pre-trial detention, sometimes by the very authorities who had perpetrated that abuse, with no access to a court hearing where they could complain about their ill treatment. Seven years ago, that began to change. At the headquarters of this Sao Paulo law firm, Marina Diaz told us about special custody hearings, where defendants are brought face-to-face in front of a judge within a day of their arrest.
Até 2015, o Brasil não tinha audiência de custódia, né, que é a apresentação do preso em 24 horas no juiz. Né? A apresentação do preso logo após a prisão em flagrante, ela é extremamente importante por dois motivos. Primeiro, porque é o momento em que a pessoa pode relatar ao juiz eventuais situações de violência ou tortura pela qual ela tenha passado.
The introduction of new face-to-face custody hearings was widely welcomed and trumpeted on this official Justice Department video. These face-to-face hearings were the opportunity for a judge to assess whether someone had suffered abuse at the hands of state authorities. But they also allowed defendants to speak directly to a judge about their treatment when they were arrested and even describe their abuse. The effect was significant. Figures revealed that between 2015 and 2019, after in-person custody hearings were introduced, complaints of police ill treatment more than doubled. But then COVID struck and face-to-face hearings were suspended. In Bolsonaro's Brazil, social unrest and state repression continued. These arrests occurred in Sao Paulo the month before we arrived. But as the state pushed for custody hearings to go online, the concern that people arrested across Brazil now had limited opportunities to complain about their treatment. Lawyers and human rights activists feared violence and abuse of prisoners was once again going unchallenged, and that defendants were appearing online from prisons and police stations where, off-camera, they were open to intimidation and coercion.
Então é óbvio que a audiência presencial ela faz toda a diferença, né? Principalmente levando em consideração que quando se faz virtualmente, a pessoa está numa prisão e a gente não tem condições, inclusive, de verificar se ela pode ou não ter a presença de alguém que esteja coagindo a ela inclusive, interferindo no seu depoimento.
In remote areas of states like Pernambuco in northeast Brazil, monitoring what was happening became even more difficult. International protocols are clear. Hearings should be in a neutral, impartial environment. Lawyer Maria Clara de Villa told us of a different reality.
Presencialmente, em uma audiência que ocorreu em delegacia, no estado de Pernambuco. E foi possível verificar várias ilegalidades ocorrendo nesse momento da audiência. A pessoa estava posicionada na frente de um pôster, né, da Polícia Civil. Havia também policiais dentro da sala que eu tive que pedir para que eles se retirassem. Eles se retiraram, mas me preocupa quando não há um advogado na sala.
The Brazilian National Justice Council is responsible for setting regulations on the functioning of the judiciary. One of those requirements is that online hearings should include the use of a 360-degree camera to show an entire room and who's in it. But when Clodoaldo Batista, a public defender in Pernambuco, conducted a survey of local police stations, he made a disturbing discovery.
Verificamos também que nenhuma das delegacias cumpria os requisitos da determinação do Conselho Nacional de Justiça, que é a utilização da câmara com resolução de 360 graus.
When we asked a spokesperson for the National Council why so many police stations did not have such cameras, they explained,
It is the responsibility of each court to ensure compliance with these rules.
But technical issues were not just limited to the use of cameras.
Eu tenho a experiência de ter participado de uma audiência de custódia em que, num primeiro momento, a gente não ouvia absolutamente nada do que o custodiado estava a relatar.
And there's another concern arising from the explosive expansion of virtual justice. Is there an adequately secure, reliable, and properly maintained judicial intranet? That's not what Batista found in Pernambuco.
Em muitas ocasiões, e nós constatamos isso na prática, que a audiência de custódia ela foi realizada por intermédio do celular, né, com a utilização do aparelho celular do próprio agente de polícia daquela delegacia.
Back in São Paulo, at this public defender's office, we met lawyer Tiago de Luna Curie, who leads inspections in prisons. He told us about online hearings there.
As salas de audiência que existem dentro das prisões, em muitas unidades, não garantem qualquer privacidade. Né? Então, a gente já se deparou com situações em que uma pessoa estava lá fazendo a audiência, enquanto tinham dois agentes prisionais ao lado dela. Né? Não apareciam na câmera, mas ficavam ao lado dela, ouvindo tudo, né? Vendo tudo.
Tiago's colleague, Sureli Youssef, attended an online hearing last year.
Essa pessoa presa, ela me confidenciou na entrevista prévia que ela tinha sofrido uma série de violências durante a sua prisão. Ele tinha sido derrubado pelos policiais militares no chão, sofreu uma pressão com as pernas no seu pescoço, na sua cabeça, até o momento que ele perdeu a consciência. Apesar de eu ter questionado em audiência e solicitado para a pessoa presa para que ela mostrasse os locais onde as agressões foram realizadas, era impossível pela tecnologia demonstrar. E o juiz tampouco conseguiu ter qualquer dimensão sobre a situação física e emocional daquela pessoa presa naquele momento.
Bruno Chamizo and Diego Policini, two lawyers based in São Paulo, don't often get to their court offices these days because of COVID. Today they're working from Bruno's apartment.
And so you work over there?
Yeah,
in
that's,
your flat,
that's my workplace.
So you could show me some recordings?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Bruno told me about a hearing he dealt with the day before.
What's going on here?
Attending this hearing from my cell phone because the internet is not good. The prosecutor, the defendant, and myself. And the judge is not here. Normally the judge would be here as well, but the judge also had a problem with his equipment and the camera was not working.
The defendant, who was in prison, had been waiting for a decision on his case for 9 months. At the end of this hearing, he was sentenced to 6 years and 8 months in jail by an invisible judge.
He was convicted.
By the judge that we can't see.
By the judge that we can't see.
Bruno's colleague Diego is a defence lawyer in initial custody hearings. He told us the importance of face-to-face contact with defendants was underlined when he was briefly able to see them in his court office. He took photos of the abuse people say they'd suffered when they'd been arrested.
What are these photos?
Então, essas fotos mostram aqui coisas que às vezes os policiais não relatam no boletim de ocorrência.
Aqui são marcas de violência na cabeça. Ele fala que a polícia pisou na sua cabeça, então isso aqui foi em contato com o chão. Teve o braço quebrado pela polícia. Esse foi levado até o hospital com diversos pontos na cabeça por ter sido agredido.
Diego described one particularly horrific incident.
Ele estava numa residência, a polícia prendeu ele nessa residência. Ele fala que ele foi torturado por cerca de 1 a 2 horas, com um saco plástico na cabeça, com a ameaça de que a polícia tirou um cabo de vassoura e colocou perto do ânus dele e ficou ameaçando, falando que se ele não contasse onde estaria o comparsa, ele seria estuprado.
A group of human rights activists, deeply alarmed by reports of police brutality across Brazil and the failure of online hearings to address it, produced a video called Torture Cannot Be Seen on TV. Two mothers involved in the campaign explained how it began.
ela nasce de dores, né? De dores, de violações de direitos, né? Sobre os corpos, né? De pessoas que estão nas periferias, né? Nasceram nas periferias e não tiveram, e tiveram suas vidas como alvo. Eu sou mãe de 3 filhos, né? Sou negra, meus filhos são negros, periférico, né? Moro numa região bem violenta, né? Que é Sapopemba, onde as pessoas pobres são alvo, né? Da violência. O meu filho mais velho, ele conheceu as drogas com 14 anos, né? E logo foi pro crime para poder obter as drogas e foi preso. Meu filho saiu das drogas com a morte. Então, quando meus filhos foram para a Febem, eu me senti a pior mãe do mundo. Uma mãe que não pôde dar pro teu filho o que precisava.
Quando uma pessoa ela é sequestrada, o Estado sequestra e coloca nesses espaços de violência, ela sofre muitas torturas. Então, a gente tem muitos relatos de familiares de que presos numa determinada penitenciária está apanhando. Tivemos relatos recentes de uma penitenciária a 9 horas de São Paulo, onde presos apanhou até na frente da mãe. Levaram tapa no rosto.
In the statement to People in Power, Brazil's National Council of Justice told us virtual hearings held because of COVID were conducted in accordance with rules which
guarantee the rights of the arrested person,
and that some face-to-face hearings were being gradually reintroduced. But critics fear that virtual hearings justified by COVID will become permanent.
A gente sabe que esse gasto que foi feito da virtualização de justiça como um todo, que foi de 44 milhões que a gente levantou, eu acho que esse é onde repousa o nosso maior receio, né? Porque se você faz um investimento, você vai usar. Então, eu acho que o maior receio é o quanto disso vai permanecer perene.
The capital of Mexico, a country where, according to one estimate, as many as 80% of hearings have been held virtually during the pandemic. Outside the headquarters of the public defense team, lawyers in hazmat suits dispense legal advice an old-fashioned way, face-to-face. Inside, lawyers Elvira Hernandez and Jessica Higuera are setting about their morning's work and dealing with an online system that frequently fails them. Elvira multitasks as she's put on hold, trying to track down a defendant. Meanwhile, Jessica gets the Wi-Fi sorted.
Él comentaba que es un problema muy común en los edificios, en este caso del Consejo de la Judicatura, porque únicamente se maneja el internet por red, lo cual no te permite siempre tener conexión y una conexión estable. En particular, bueno, yo he tenido casos donde no se han podido celebrar audiencias por falta de o fallas en las comunicaciones con el internet. Tengo unos representados que se encuentran en Durango y otro en Morelos y no hemos podido llevar a cabo audiencias donde estemos todos presentes.
We catch up with Elvira the following day. This morning, an online hearing involves 7 imprisoned defendants, each with their own lawyer, plus 3 witnesses. And it doesn't help that nobody seems to have the right link.
Sí, buen día. Disculpe, estoy tratando de comunicarme con el licenciado Damián en el sentido de que tengo una audiencia programada al día a las 12 horas y no nos han permitido la entrada con el enlace que nos mandaron.
We're not allowed to record this virtual hearing, which in the circumstances becomes academic. Witnesses don't show, lawyers can't connect. The entire process grinds to a halt and the hearing's postponed. But despite the technical problems, Leila Alamiras, a director here, does see potential advantages to online justice.
Creo que en un país como México no puedes generalizar la pregunta de o la respuesta de si sí funcionan o no. Una de las ventajas claras es que con una audiencia virtual tú puedes conciliar de mejor o de más fácil manera una audiencia entre 6 juzgados distintos en todo el país. México es enorme. Entonces, el tener la posibilidad de hacerlo virtualmente sin tener que reunir a 10 personas que están en todo el país es una gran oportunidad. Eso sería, digamos, de las ventajas más claras que veo yo. Y desventajas, pues, por supuesto que es cómo documentar y cómo visualizar casos de tortura.
But for Araceli Olivos, from a leading justice NGO, there are some hearings that should only be carried out in person.
La mayoría de las audiencias en materia penal en México, entre el 80 y el 90%, estaban siendo audiencias virtuales, establecidos en protocolos, sin lineamientos sobre qué tipo de audiencias sí deben ser virtuales y qué tipo de audiencias absolutamente no deben ser virtuales. Tenemos claro que audiencias como la audiencia de control de detención o audiencias en las que se decide sobre la libertad de las personas no deben ser virtuales.
And during our inquiries here, we heard about another seemingly key component of the justice system, the significance of human contact. Are people seen differently when justice is behind screens?
Una persona dentro de un proceso hablando persona a persona que cuando tenemos a alguien que está hablando atrás de una cámara.
Entonces, muchas veces puede estar declarando un testigo y puede estar leyendo una hoja y el juez no se da cuenta de eso porque no lo está viendo a los ojos. Cuando vemos a las personas a los ojos es mucho más fácil trabajar y obtener lo que queremos y lo que deseamos de un testigo.
So which hearings should be online and which face-to-face? We met up with Judge Martino Trilla, who deals with juveniles, youngsters who can enter the criminal justice system from the age of 12, with potentially dramatic consequences for the rest of their lives.
Yo prefiero la audiencia cara a cara. Sin embargo, la justicia juvenil se preocupa mucho por qué le conviene más al joven. ¿Qué es lo que le conviene más? Y si le conviene más a veces estar en línea, lo que va a importar más es respetar sus derechos. Es decir, que se garanticen todos los derechos, tanto de adolescentes como de adultos. Es más complicado para nosotros las audiencias en línea, porque a veces tenemos problemas de conectividad. A veces hay una ruptura, se va la imagen, se va el audio, pero tenemos que ser pacientes. Sí, hay muchos problemas, pero es el futuro.
The future, you think it's the future?
Es el futuro.
It's reckoned digital courts are now operational in one way or another across 5 continents. And despite the questions raised, the arguments for remote justice are clear. It could reduce court backlogs, improve efficiency, increase access to justice.
Looking at Brazil, I mean, they've got a backlog of millions of cases. They've got people languishing in pre-trial detention for years. Surely one view would be that online hearings are a way out of that mess, to get rid of this backlog, to get people in front of a court in some way.
My answer to that is, what are they charged with? Do they need to be in prison? Are they overly using pretrial detention? Let's not use the availability of technology to perpetuate a broken system. We shouldn't be using the criminal law as indiscriminately as we do. But we use it instead for all kinds of offenses. And people don't need to be in prison for those things. And that's really what COVID has done. It has exposed the pre-existing problems in our criminal legal systems. Not only in a way that they'd not been exposed before, but has actually made them quite a bit worse. And the danger that we face now is that that remote proceedings, which may have been arguably essential for a limited period of time and for limited purposes during COVID, will be regularized.
And that might yet be the bigger question in the controversy about remote justice. A fundamental issue, not about how we conduct our trials, but why we try to conduct so many in the first place. And on that, the jury is out.